On Monday, the Sanctuary for Independent Media will be screening a documentary about the father of African cinema, Ousmane Sembène. WOOC correspondent Steve Pierce spoke to Samba Gadigo and one of the filmmakers.
Yeah, we just made the documentary Sembène to pay tribute to Ousmane Sembène, who, historically speaking, is arguably the best-known African filmmaker, but not also. He is really the most renowned around the world major activist. So a man who spent more than 50 years not only writing, but also filming stories that show Africa under a new light, not our traditional stereotyped images of Africa, but really dreamed of and created images of an Africa that is new, fresh, empowered, and galvanizing.
And the time that he became active as an artist was also the time of the great revolutionary ferment in Africa?
Yeah, he has been really a witness of the whole century. I mean, he was born in 1923 and died in 2007. So he has experienced the colonial period for about, 40 years. Then he has witnessed the liberation movement, which was the most optimistic period. I mean, the 60s to the 70s, it was really a period of hope. And then, of course, unfortunately, he also witnessed the dashing of those hopes. But what is interesting about him and his work, like his dream, was always kept alive. And that's why he made these films, actually, despite all the dire situations he's describing. All the film by and large, or let's say most of the film by and large, end with a very optimistic note.
What was it about Sembène that that propelled him to be such an innovator in African film? What about his background made him take this path?
Well, yes, I think it is his own approach to culture and to literature and to cinema. Sembène came to writing from the margins. He never finished grade school. But I think the most important thing for him, in addition to the traditional culture he has received, he has witnessed the Cold War, being a dock worker in Marseille, became a member of the Communist Party, and also became a participant in the most progressive trade union. So let's say he lived a very optimistic period, maybe we can call it a utopian period, when many people thought with communism that we could remake the world. I think that kind of optimism transpires throughout his work. And although he would deny it, that he has been disappointed with Africa, he refused to let that paralyze him. I think what is unique with Ousmane Sembène is to have been part of a world movement, very optimistic, which he thought maybe they could redo the world. And I think that's the signature of Sembène's work.
In Africa, did they have the same elements of anti-communist repression as we had in the United States and to some extent continue having today?
Well, I don't think we have lived the McCarthyism that you lived here in the West under the communist witch hunt, but certainly, like all part of the world, Africa was divided during the Cold War between the communist and the, how would I put it again, under the capitalist area. But the reality is that also if you take the Soviet Union through Cuba, there were a lot of liberation movements that were supported by the Communist Party and the communist regimes around the world.
The approach that you describe he took to a new anti-colonialist African cinema sounds a lot like the trajectory of some of the important African musicians like Thomas Mapfumo, who took elements of African popular culture and folk culture and Western culture and turned it into something completely new. Is that the same sort of strategy that Sembène followed?
Yes, that's a very, very interesting question, because Sembène not only spent more than 12 years in France, I mean, after World War II, but also he was trained as a filmmaker in Moscow. And at a time when really the French New Wave was very, very strong, and the Italian neorealism was also very, very strong. So what Sembène did was to inherit those three filmmaking aesthetics, go back to Africa, try to show Africa through that lens, but also trying to in a certain way, to indigenize the aesthetics, looking for a genuinely African film language.
Now, Simbin came from very humble origins. How did he make his way to the Soviet Union and become a trained filmmaker?
Well, yes, his father was just a fisherman, and as I hinted earlier, he was expelled from French school at age 13. So he already at 13, he became a mason, he became a laborer, and became a soldier during World War II. So I think the best way to describe Simbin is that someone who cheated faith, because for many of us who came from the colonized world, even our French education destined us only to be the subaltern, second-class citizens. So Simbin reinvented himself. And throughout his life, I think that also has been the hallmark of his life, to be able to beat the odds, both figuratively and literally, because as you may know, in 1951, he had an accident in Marseille which broke his backbone. But the same way he survived that physical scar, he also survived all the odds of colonization and of traditional values.
Now, you were a friend of his. How did you get to know him?
Well, I cannot tell Simbin's story without intertwining it with my own story, because I was born in the 50s. I gained colonial education, and I saw the world through the lens of Western narratives and Western colonial stories. So until age 17, I really was convinced that I was French, because I was fed with those stories. My own stories were stolen from me and replaced by French stories. It is in 1972 that reading Simbin's masterpiece, Guts, Bits of Wood, that I really learned to discover Africa, to discover myself, and to recover my own self-dignity. So I lost, quote-unquote, I tell people, I lost my political virginity in reading Simbin's work. That was in 1972. But after I became a scholar here in the United States, I went back to Africa in search of Simbin in 1989. I invited him to come to the United States. And after that, for 17 years, I became a scholar of Simbin. I became his translator. I became his interpreter. I organized his tours here in the United States and in Europe and also in Africa. So I met his work when I was 17. I saw him in person 17 years later, and I worked with him for 17 years before he died.
There have been a number of documentaries about Simbin. What is it about yours that is unique?
I think it's my own position. I mean, the intimate look. Simbin is a very, very difficult person, as you will see in our documentary. But after he came here to the U.S., in the 1989, I became over. He opened the door of his house. He gave me the keys to his house to study. So I gained a very, very intimate knowledge of Simbin. I mean, others, like we did at some point, used archival footage, but Jason and I were lucky to have a very, very intimate knowledge. That's why not only we could give our viewers the essence of Simbin's work, but also to humanize the man, to go beyond the legend, to portray Simbin as a human being with his strengths and his weaknesses. I think that's the difference that our documentary has made.
And what are you working on now?
Well, since last year, which was the 10th anniversary of Simbin's death, we launched a new program called Simbin Across Africa. So with funding from the Ford Foundation and other sources, from June 9th to June 12th last year, we were able to screen the documentary in 38 African countries, and there were more than 100 screenings. And by popular demand, we're also repeating the same program this year, starting in June. That's one element we're working on. And then Jason and I are also co-writing the second volume of his biography. The first was I single-handedly wrote and published the first volume at Indiana University Press in 2011, which goes from 1923, his birth, to 1956, when he wrote his first work. Now we are taking it from 1956 to 2007. So those are the two elements we are working on right now.
And where can people go to find more information about Simbin and African film?
Oh, you you can go to our website www.samben.com. It's just if it is to go on the internet, you type Usman Samben, you will have hundreds and hundreds of bibliographical sources.
Great. Well, thanks so much for taking time to speak with us today. We're looking forward to seeing you on Monday.
Okay, thank you for the honor, and I'm also looking forward to having conversation with our audiences on Monday.
That was Samba Gajijo, director of the film Simbin, about the father of African cinema. He'll be appearing with co-director Jason Silverman at a screening of the film this Monday at 7 p.m. at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. For more information, visit mediasanctuary.org.